You guys can all start turning to 1 John 1 this morning again. We're going through a series we started last week where we're going through the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John verse by verse. And we didn't make it very far in this chapter. We actually only made it through verse 4 because John gave us a lot in just those four short verses. But we're going to take our time going through these books because God wants to show us stuff as we go through it. He wants to show us some specific things, and we don't want to just glance over it. We want to get every bit out of His Word that we can. We recognize that He's saying a lot, but it's because He wants us to understand everything He has. He wants to show us how He loves us, how He gives us His words, how He's revealing Himself throughout it, how He's there for us, as we've already talked about this morning. It's His nature. It is who He is. If you guys missed last week's message, I encourage you to go online to our website. But if there was one main point that I want us to remember from last week, to tuck it away so it's close to our hearts, it's that there's joy in the relationship with God. That our joy doesn't come in our circumstances. You know, just as Patty was describing what she went through, the joy was not in the circumstances. The joy was in the relationship with God. It doesn't come out of our emotions. It doesn't come out of our feelings. It's out of that relationship that we get our joy. Because no matter what, God is there. He loves us so much that He's there for us. He wants to have that desire to have that relationship with each and every one of us. And John continues to build on this precept this morning, where it's all about relationship with God. One of the biggest revelations that we can have when it comes to the gospel of Jesus, when it comes to the good news, is that it is with the relationship with Him that everything else flows out of. Everything that God does is out of that desire and the position of relationship. So we pick up here in verse 5 where John says, "This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." We're going to pause here and digest what John's telling us already. There's a lot of nuggets here, a lot of things that you can just kind of take and really dive into. He starts there in verse 5 where it says that this is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you. He's saying that this isn't our words. This isn't our thoughts. This isn't our opinions. We're not speaking on our own behalf. We're communicating to this to you because of our relationship with God. Now, I know some of you guys have varying opinions on how much you look at the Greek words that are used. You can really get lost diving into the Greek every bit of the way. But I've been having a growing appreciation for the definitions that are in the Greek words. Because sometimes you realize the depth that's actually in those words that was used originally. So the word message here in the Greek is actually the word epangelia, which is an announcement or a promise. So that word message, when he uses it, it's an announcement or a promise. So it's not a simple message, it's much more pronounced than that. When something's announced, it's not a, "Oh yeah, by the way, this." No. It's something that's specifically called out. It's got some fanfare to it. It's telegraphed. Once you announce it, there's no going back. It's a promise that God is saying. So this message isn't something coming from John or the others that he's with. It's been told to them, and they are declaring it back out to others. They are speaking it into the atmosphere. They're reminding that the victory is proclaimed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you're taking notes this morning, the same word message is the same word that Jesus used when he said that he would send the promise of my Father in Luke 24. So when Jesus said that he would send the Holy Spirit, that he would send the promise of my Father, that is the same word that's used here. For this is the message. This is the promise. And it's just as strong of a statement in the second half of verse 5 here. It says that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness. God is perfect. Remember last week that one of the things that John was writing these believers was to refute the argument that Jesus didn't really come as a person. That the idea was more than merely a thought. That he existed as knowledge. That our knowledge is what saves us. He was debunking all of that. He was saying, no, Jesus came as a man. He was fully God, but he was fully man while he was here. He had flesh on his body. He had mind, will, and emotions, just like we do. All the things that we face, he faced. All the temptations that we have, he had those as well. Immediately after Jesus was baptized, he went off to the wilderness for 40 days. Luke 4:2 actually tells us that he was tempted for those 40 days, that he faced those temptations. The creator of the universe was tempted by the enemy. A couple of scriptures out of Hebrews. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 17, the author says, therefore, in all things, he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people, for in that he himself has suffered. Being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. And again, in Hebrews 4, starting in verse 14, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin, and this is what we often quote, on its own sometimes, in the following verse, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's such a great promise there. You know, he says that because Jesus was tempted, we can come boldly to that throne of grace. And that's exactly what John is saying in verse 5, where he's building on what he's already said. He already said that Jesus came as a man. But now it's a Ron Papil statement saying, but wait, there's more. Not only did Jesus come as a man, but he lived a perfect life, even though he was tempted. So he is light. And in him is no darkness. Not only did he come as a man, not only did he live as a man, that he was tempted as a man, but he never sinned once. And guess what? We have the ability to have a relationship with this same man, Jesus. I hope you guys are picking up what I'm laying down here. This is an underlying theme that God has been showing me lately. We have a relationship with the one who is perfect. The one who was able to overcome every single temptation that was brought on him. Every single temptation that we may face. That's the person we get to have a relationship with. That's the beauty of what God has for us. There's more for us. We know that He knows what we're going through. That He knows what we're struggling with. John continues in verse 6 there saying, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." If we're in a relationship with God, but act contrary to His values, we're not being very honest with ourselves. Again, the word fellowship here, it's not about the food that we're going to have to eat with each other in just a few minutes. It's about the relationship that comes with fellowshipping. See, with having a relationship, you value the other person, especially in the relationship with God. The closest relationship we have aside from God is with our spouse. We should be valuing our spouse. We look beyond ourselves and we value what they say as well. We care for them. We want to do what they want to do. Husbands, you better say amen quick. You know, we joke around about happy wife, happy life, but there's a lot of truth there. See, we're valuing them in our relationship when we do that. We don't think about only what we want. We think about what they desire out of us as well. That's why we do the chores that they don't want to do sometimes, right? Pay attention. In verse 7 here, though, John continues, "But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Notice that verses 6 and 7 are both conditional. You guys are going to learn some logic programming mentality hanging out with me. Conditional statements are the if-then statements. Verse 7, he says here that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, which we should, then we have fellowship, relationship with one another. It's one of His promises. We see a theme that the Apostle John identifies what God is revealing to him, and he keeps saying it in these letters that parallels what Jesus already told them in the Gospel of John. We're going to go to John 3, starting at verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does come to the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Just like our relationship with our spouses, God wants us to be honest with Him. He wants us to walk in the light so that we can expose any sin we have to Him. Here's a little alliteration for you guys this morning. And it's been a while since we've touched on this, but it helped me a lot in my early walk. The four R's of sin. The first R is to recognize it. Recognize that it is sin. Recognize that God is telling you that this is something that's not a part of Him. The second one is to repent of it. Repent of the sin Because God wants us to truly change. It's not just saying, I'm sorry. It's truly trying to change your ways, change your direction, do an about face for whatever it is, and repent of it. The third one is to release the sin. So once we've repented of it, we don't need to keep bringing it up. We don't need to go keep running back to it and just beating ourselves up over it. Sometimes we struggle with releasing it. I'll say, you know, it's hard to forget things a lot of times. But once we've asked for forgiveness for it, once we've repented of it, there's no reason for us to keep bringing it up because God's forgiven us and forgot our sin. The final R is to return to our position in Christ, to our relationship in Christ. See, God doesn't hold it over our heads. He doesn't go, well, you really messed up this time. I'm mad at you. I'm going to keep bringing it up every so often. I'm going to hold it over you for the next 5 years. I can't believe you did that. I'm not going to bless you. I'm going to punish you. All those things are not part of God's nature. It's not part of God's character. No, God says, your sins are forgiven. He says, my blood covers that sin. My perfect sacrifice, it cleanses that sin. I don't see it anymore. He separates our sin from us as far as the east is from the west. It's what my Bible says. Now we get into some tough stuff this morning. We're going to continue on in 1 John 1, starting in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God wants us to have obedience in what he is telling us. Sin is simply anything that separates us from God. Sin is when we act out of disobedience in what he's telling us to do. Something contrary to what he is saying. Yes, we all sin from time to time, but as a mature believer, it should be a surprise and not an expectation. We shouldn't be in a pattern of going, sin, forgiveness, sin, forgiveness. Sin, forgiveness. Sin, forgiveness. We got to watch out for greasy grace where we just use God's nature of wanting to forgive us to go ahead and sin anyway and just ask for forgiveness later to justify doing what we want to do. God's desire is for us to be obedient. God's desire is for us to recognize him in our relationship and operate out of obedience. Verse 8, he starts out saying, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. This is a continuation where we were talking about walking in the light here. See, when we're walking in the light, our sins become apparent to us. When we're walking in the light, it's foolishness for us to tell God that we don't have any sin because he's the one trying to expose it to us at that point. He's the one who's showing us that with his light. Have you ever wondered why a non-believer does some of the things that they do? It's because they aren't walking in the light. So since they aren't walking in the light, they don't have Holy Spirit to show them that this is not right. This isn't something you should be getting involved with or doing. Remember, God is light. We just read that in verse 5. So if someone isn't walking in the Lord, they're in darkness still. A sinner does exactly that. sin. We shouldn't be shocked by it. We shouldn't go, I can't believe they did that. No, we need to pray for them to receive the light. Pray for them to let God shine His light on their lives. His desire is for people to be transformed by His light. God wants people to be singing the old Hank Williams Sr. song, I Saw the Light, as a testimony of what He did in their life. I saw the light, I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. All right, I got a confession for you guys. That actually was my style of music. Every Saturday morning, ask Ashley, I'd be out in the shop listening to the roots of Hoosier Country, the oldies country songs. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Captain Crunch. I don't even know where I am now. Oh. Yeah, so we should be transformed by God's light. So often when we think of sinning, we think of doing something that we weren't supposed to do. That's the sin of commission, something that you committed, something that you did that God told you not to. It might be running back to something you're familiar with, but God wanted to separate you from it. It might be a lust of the flesh or a lust of the eyes that He wants you to avoid satisfying. But God also wants us to be mindful of the sin of omission as well, where we don't do what God is telling us to do. He wants obedience from us. He wants us to listen to His voice and listen when He's telling us to do something, to say something. It might be reaching out to somebody that He's laying on your heart and you have an encouraging word for them, but you didn't because you weren't sure what they would think. Might be talking to some stranger that you have an encouraging word for, but you weren't sure. I think some of you guys know what I'm talking about there. I know I've been guilty of it from time to time. But God wants us to be yielded vessels for His glory. He has that relationship for us. He wants to be there when we step out in obedience. He wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him. Not just taking something for us and kind of keeping it close to ourselves. He's talking with us for us to do something with it. Also, we oftentimes say here, we're no longer sinners, we're saints. That's true. Our old sin nature is no longer to sin. We sin when we get caught up by our own desires. But we no longer have that nature of sin. We have Christ in us. So any sin can't help but be in the light and have to go. Yes, we still sin from time to time, but it's not who we are anymore. That was broken off of us when we accepted Jesus into our lives. But we have to let Him be a part of our life. It's part of that relationship where He wants us to walk in His light. In verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and our sin, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, here is our part. If we confess our sins. Now, it's not the confessing our sins to the Catholic priests, but it's confessing our sins to our high priest, Jesus. It's confessing it in the relationship with God. It's saying to Jesus, yes, I'm guilty of that. Remember, the first R that I gave you is to recognize it. recognize that it was sin. Because the longer we fight it, the more we just fight ourselves, and the harder it gets. John interjects, though, here, talking about God's character, saying that if we confess our sins, then here's his part, that he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is great. Now think back to this for a second. Verse 5, he starts out saying, this is the message. This is that promise that he has for us. This is the promise we have heard from him and declare to you, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We don't have to hope. We don't have to wonder. We have the promises made by God. He is faithful. He will do it. He cleanses us. Because Jesus' blood was shed to cleanse us of that sin, putting us right back in good standing with God, putting us in right standing just as if we never sinned. Verse 10 finishes off saying, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. God cannot lie. He reveals things to us to change for a purpose. He is the one who tells us if it's sin or not. What he separated from me and is off limits might be different from what he separated you from and is off limits to you. But it's out of that personal, intimate relationship with us that he shows us what he wants from us. When he gives you a burden for something, he wants you to do something about it. Not just tell someone else and expect them to run with it. When he lays something on your heart, take the reins. Don't just deliver the message. It might be that you're supposed to get involved with something. It might be that you're supposed to get involved with government, as Steve was talking about this morning. It might be that you're supposed to get involved with some organization, some ministry. It might be the time that you need to come along someone for a period of time. Come alongside someone for the equipping for something specific. Serve alongside what they're already doing and established in. But God wants to have a relationship with you and show you that he will lead you through it. So now if we look at these six verses in the Message Bible, he says, this, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another. As the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. In verse 8, if we claim we are free of sin, we're only fooling ourselves. A claim like that is arrant nonsense. On the other hand, if we admit our sins, simply come clean about them, he won't let us down. He'll be true to himself. He'll forgive our sins and purge us of all wrongdoing. If we claim that we never sinned, we're out and out contradicted God and make a liar out of him. A claim like that only shows off our ignorance of God. Jesus came as a Savior to save us of our sin. That's what he wants in the relationship with him. He came to deliver us from sin. When we recognize God in our relationship with Him, when we know who He is, when we recognize that God is full of mercy and grace and compassion, we know we don't need to hide when we sin. In fact, it's quite the opposite. We should run to Him. We need to confess it before God, handle it appropriately with Him. When we let light shine on it, God sees it and asks, is there anything to talk about here? And we can fight and say, nah, we're good. Are you sure? Nah. What about this? Denying our sin. If we deny our sin that God exposes, we can't be cleansed. But if we admit our sin to Him, He cleanses us with the blood of Jesus. He wants intimate relationship. God is willing to forgive us. He will never ask us something to do something that He wouldn't do Himself. So when Peter asked Jesus how often he should forgive his brother for sinning against him, he asked him 7 times. Jesus replied, no, but 70 times 7 in a day. And that's just in one day. Guess what? That's over 20 times an hour. Once every less than 3 minutes. God isn't asking us to do anything He wouldn't do Himself. He loves us so much, He's willing to forgive us that much. The purpose of sharing the gospel is not for what Jesus can do for us. It's not for an escape plan for where we go in life after we get out of this one. Yes, if you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are going to spend eternity with Him. But it's a side effect of what the purpose of accepting Him into our life is. It's the purpose of accepting Him into our life is to have that relationship with Him. That's why John realized that he is the disciple that Jesus loved. He recognized that Jesus wanted to have a relationship with him personally. He recognized that it was all about relationship above anything else. So when we recognize the purpose is relationship, we become a beloved son, a beloved daughter. I hope God's been speaking to you guys about the value of the relationship. I just can't get past that right now. God is so faithful. What a wonderful God we're in a relationship with. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank You for that relationship that You want to have with us. Lord, we thank You that You are faithful in the relationship, God. Lord, that You love us, that you love us so much, God, that You sent Your Son. Lord, we thank You that You are giving us a desire to have that relationship back to You as well. Lord, we pray that You help us walk in the light, allowing You to shine Your light on anything that needs shined on, God. Lord, we fully submit to You, God. We pray as David did to search us to find anything, God. Lord, we submit to You. Lord, we love You so much, Lord. We give You full rein to talk to us about it. Lord, help us recognize what You are showing us. Help us recognize and confess those sins to You, God. Lord, we pray that You soften our heart, that we be willing to hear what You are saying, God. Lord, we're sorry for anything that we've been trying to do in our own strength. We're sorry for anything that we've been trying to do on our own, God. Lord, we're sorry for anything that we've been limiting you with what you're trying to do, God. Lord, help show us how to be obedient to what you're telling us, God. Lord, we thank you for that relationship. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.